He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
I'll start off this week's show by discussing older vehicles and the benefits, of which there are very few probably, of owning them. The best one is that
your
town
great.
Taxes are fabulous on old houses. I know somebody who's got an old Corvette. Well, I will get to you in a minute. Has got an old Corvette that's probably worth a fair amount of money on the Barrett Jackson sort of line of auctions. And I think he told me the tax is $35, that kind of thing. When you get a new car, your taxes are going to be several hundred dollars. And that'll stay that way three-figure tax levels for probably the first, especially with these expensive cars. I'm not talking about Rolls Royces and that kind of thing. I'm just talking about $50,000 or even $30,000 cars and up.
Which a few decades ago used to be luxury cars, by the way.
That's correct. And, of course, the towns all have different mill rates. So if you own one of these cars in one town, it'll be different in another town if you own it in another town because of the mill rates. But it is nice to know that anybody who has fleets of cars, and there are several people around, that
one of
the
them
tax
right
bill
here.
Will not be outrageous if the fleet of cars is older than 10 years.
What a relief.
What a relief.
Why you keep all your cars. But the comedy, really and truly, is when this also goes back when $30,000 was a luxury car, 30 and above was a luxury. When I first met Robin, I went to their house, and I was given directions. Oh, it has lots of cars parked out front. And that's how I knew.
And the same cars are still there.
No.
That is very true. Many of the same cars are still around. They're not still outside, but they are.
Let's be precise.
They are. I was in a different location, didn't have the garage space and et cetera, and other actions, other venues to hide my cars out in.
But while we're telling...
I want to talk about my
favorite Robin Leach story ever, which is the maggots.
Listeners, get ready.
The maggots. Ask Robin sometime about the maggots.
I don't want to discuss maggots.
Okay.
Maggots and cars.
I can't remember it. I think I
you
put
can't,
those...
The Audi, you were driving around, you forgot to take your trash to the dump.
Oh, yes.
But it was an Audi, and it was just trying
the current one?
No.
Was it in a trunk?
Sadly, not just.
Okay.
But the trick was, like, how do we solve this problem? Forget the problem. How do we solve it without selling
cars?
Forget the problem.
I don't remember how I sold it, especially since they were crawling all over the car.
You solved it. You did.
I know, but I don't remember how.
Nor do I.
Enough on that topic. But anyways, we're still on the old cars. I, for one, like some of the features of the old cars that are no longer available on the new cars because they've been superseded by high technology, which Jay is going to have some words about, I'm sure. But it's blessedly, for one, the seatbelts don't gong in the older cars if you're not belted up. And you want to drive, let's say, down a country road.
How old are those
cars? So let me say something.
They're over.
The seatbelt should never gong because they should always be on.
Right.
Well, that's an easy
safety tip of the week.
If you're on a farm road and you own a vehicle, an SUV or something, you want to show somebody the farm road on your 300-acre
car. You should definitely be wearing the seatbelt.
No, that's baloney. And you don't want to, and you're going down a road at 5 miles an hour looking at the cattle in the field, you do not need to be belted in your seatbelt.
I have been in a car with you looking at land, and believe me, I was happy to be belted.
Well, that's because I wasn't going just 5 miles an hour.
And
you were holding on for dear life at the grab handles above the front windows.
Always wear your seatbelt.
All right, we too have also gone on.
Enough on that. I'm not getting anywhere with this old car benefit situation.
but all of us remember going on rides with you. Because where the Habitat houses are on Lime Rock Station used to be a massive gravel pit where Robin
would
take...
Oh, he loves that.
Oh, I took people on test drive for that.
I know.
I went in a Hummer. Were you in the Hummer when I did? I was in an H? I was in a big Hummer one time, and I took the person who supplied the Hummer over to that gravel pit in Falls Village.
You were not trying to sell him land, were you?
Obviously.
No, but I did have him scared to death, and the seatbelts were on, I will tell you that. But it was a great place to go off-roading. It is now the place of habitat housing. And but it was a wonderful gravel pit with some quite severe hills and good challenging areas to test out the four-wheel drive systems. And you certainly have to go up and down those hills vertically. You cannot go horizontally across the side faces of hills in any SUV. So don't try it at home if you're listening to this show.
Please, and also don't even feel don't have a moment's hesitation about hanging onto those grab bars when you went on that
expeditionary adventure. It was quite an adventure for the person and the people that were So back to old cars. The tires for replacement tires are very often much less expensive because they are smaller diameters and. Tires, you go up the diameter in an inch by inch range and the tires get considerably more expensive. And when you get into the expensive cars like the Porsche Cayennes and Porsches in general, Audis, the M series, BMWs and all that, replacement tires can be very expensive relative to older cars. Jay's going to say, well, if you can afford to buy a Cayenne, you can afford to pay for the tires. But that's his common answer for when I get going on trying to save money owning vehicles. And he's right. But, still, it depends how sensible people want to be when they go out and buy a car.
It depends on the size of their fleet. And I'm just going to leave it like that.
No, because, with the size of the fleet, you can spread out the driving so the tires can last almost to the point of rot.
And if you buy identical cars, you can swap the tires from one car to the other.
Yes.
There's that, too. Who would ever thought of that?
I'm going to pass the show over to Jay, who's been doing research on the car sales situation while I've been blathering here. And he's going to tell us what's been going on. Because the sales have been flattening a little bit, and this is one of the things we've been sort of forecasting in our show.
I sent you something. Of course, I can't remember what it was.
Well, I've been away, and I haven't seen your email, so I didn't see it.
What was it?
Jay, could you go on to what you've researched, please?
Well, I was trying to read what you printed, but
there's a magnifying glass there for you.
Even that is making it difficult.
It had to do with car sales because there is some. You can feel just as sometimes when people say, oh, this Broadway show is going to run forever and you know it's about to post a closing notice, there is this there's a disconnect.
What is it? All right. Okay. So I will give him one more second to look because
he can't see it. It doesn't matter how
he wants to go right now.
Okay. Yes. The trend is car sales are slipping. There's no doubt about it. Car sales are slipping
all across. Cars, trucks, and everything, right?
Trucks are maintaining for now,
okay.
But car sales are slipping. So the overall sales are slipping. What we're seeing is sales slipping, but car prices going up. So overall sales in dollar numbers are probably very equal right now, but there's an unmistakable trend of slowing down car sales. Now, what makes us think that? Well, as long as the economy is good, people are going to keep buying cars, right?
Once the dealers can push them and make sure they don't leave the dealership without trading in the car they came in to drive to trade if possible.
I read an article this morning about car sales and iPhone sales and the parallel between the two. And the thing is, iPhone sales have been slipping as well.
They have indeed.
But they are more and more expensive. The thing is, from one model to the next, the incremental benefits, the updates, the technical improvements are not as great as they once were. And it is the same thing with cars. All cars now have backup cameras, Bluetooth, a dozen airbags,
cameras.
Adaptive cruise control is becoming standard on more and more cars or
close to it
and very affordable. So there is no, unless, and the quality of cars is way better than it ever was.
Ever has been, I agree.
So that and longer financing terms, maybe the people
like
are gonna,
8 years.
People are going to keep their cars longer without a problem.
But
and again, and also, by the way, we mentioned this when opening the show, and that you know, your taxes are going to be lower. So if you have a 4 or 5 year old car now, if you have a 2014, 15 car,
why would you get rid of it?
Because you're on an 8 year loan. And you got to pay it off.
That's what I mean. You can't. But this, I'm sorry. This is where they didn't have me into the overall meetings, where it was like, all right, well, we'll raise the prices and we'll give 8 year loans and we'll bang out as many cars as we can, because, you know, because this happens. This happens when you make it. This happens when you inflate your when you saturate your market.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
it's
that is
part,
correct.
It's part of the.
And saturation take many forms.
Dealer inventories are as high as they've ever been, as they have ever been. So, by the way, it's probably going to be a good time. August comes around. It's probably be a good time to shop for cars. And
you know,
Jill,
just,
I've been thinking about you because I just read something else. You know, speaking of cool wagons, circle back to that Buick. I know. You don't. Who wants to drive their grandpa's Buick?
Well, no, they have
but
been
that Buick X Tour X. I just read an article, 10,000 mile review, is a great car. It looks awesome. It drives awesome. It gets 30 miles to the gallon. It's all-wheel drive. It's fast.
There's one in Salisbury. I saw several over at my summer place in Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
It's just a car for Jill. And they do look good. I admire that's the first Buick that I really actually think doesn't necessarily look like it should be driven by somebody 70 plus, like Jill is approaching.
That's right.
So
and you are well over.
No, I'm not well over.
Yeah,
knock it off.
It doesn't matter. Knock it off, right?
Knock it off. The point is, I am now of the age where I can drive legitimately
a
Buick.
It's a cool Buick.
It may be very good. No, but Jill buys cars for dogs. Now, and this is, we go back to what people buy cars for, and a lot of people buy dogs for their pets. Cars for the pets, because the pets have to be comfortable and appropriately so. And if you've got big pets, as Jill is known to have, you need a car with pet headroom if they're standing in the back behind the second row seats or the seats are folded down.
No, actually.
No, you're not back to minivan. This is why you're back to station wagon.
Because
the Atlas and the VW brand, maybe the Ascender in the
those are not wagons.
Subaru.
Go ahead, Jill.
They are wagons.
In their own way. But what I found, interestingly enough, is that they feel more secure in a station wagon than in an SUV, which I converted to immediately as I come to the country. Well, I needed it, and there was every reason to have it. But as it emerged, their comfort, they're happier in station wagons. Who knew?
Go for it. I'm all for station wagons.
We'll see. Estate wagons. I don't think they're.
Some of these cars that Jay is trying to argue are not station wagons, are effectively station wagon designs. And
they may have
a
higher platform.
They have a higher platform on the road, but they're not minivan height in terms of interior.
Or old Isuzu height.
Situation, or
but
Isuzu
at all events.
Height, exactly.
Just so you know, one of you is ultimately going to get an assignment. Just go get Jill a car, drive it back here. She'll be happy.
We're not going to let it be Jay, I can assure you.
Oh. Are you changing?
He may want the task, though, and if he makes enough noise, maybe he'll get it. We'll see. But
some way to talk about your co-host.
You know, you talk about cars, these new cars. They have smaller engines. They've got more power output than the larger engine, the former cars. Ascent is going into an ad campaign in this particular picture. And the Ascent is just a larger Outback. And it's like the Atlas is a larger Tiguan, and so forth as you go down the line. And they've got a picture here of an Ascent pulling an Airstream camper to prove that it is perfectly capable of pulling a trailer that some people might feel they need to have a pickup truck for.
It's on a flat
now,
road.
Airstream is
by the way, that's not a flat
trailer.
Road.
Let me settle that issue right away.
The lightest
Airstream is 4,600 pounds. It is not a light trailer.
Fine.
Okay.
Okay.
And the Ascent may be rated for 5,000 pounds.
It is.
I just went to Watkins Glen with my trailer, which weighs about 6,000 pounds, which I tow with a real SUV. And And it's a heavy trailer. But yes, you can probably tow a.
What is your tow rating on the Touareg?
7,700.
Okay, so you're well within.
And I wanted to say apropos, no, and this is relevant because I saw someone walking yesterday in the shadows of the trees wearing, you know, drab clothing.
Okay.
Hiker. Just was not even a hiker.
Are
no,
we
the
at the safety section.
No, we are at the Touareg. Don't just look at the picture and buy a car if you are going to tow an Airstream portion of the program, because unless you get past the top line or the picture, you don't necessarily know you do. But regular people who are out there buying things at this point don't necessarily know or pay any attention to the specs. And that
well, they do if they tow things. That's where I will draw the line on your comment, because, and I think Jay might agree, because if you are a person who is towing something and you're going to go on a cross-country drive, you are going to make sure you have you're going to have a vehicle that can tow appropriately.
You
even though some
people.
Didn't your daughter drive out towing? Did she tow a trailer?
A U-Haul rental trailer.
A U-Haul rental trailer, which is.
Yeah, we're talking 1,000 pounds.
Exactly. But she drove it out. She drove a Crosstrecker. What did she drive? An
Impreza.
Impreza. Wagon, or SUV, but the cover line here is we were losing a lot of pieces about the Subaru Ascent. We were losing a lot of people to the minivans, Ford Explorers, GMC Acadias. The Ascent came through, and now we're there with our capable vehicle to compete with those alternatives which I just read about.
So I'm going to go back to my point, which has to do with the way things are marketed and the way life actually is requires a little more discernment than is commonly employed. Back to the walker who was perfectly happy. He was having a grand time. He just had no concept that he was pretty much invisible. He was invisible man to anyone who was driving.
None of those people are.
I
am very conscious now. We've talked about this in the safety section.
I understand.
The visibility problem, even with vests on, in certain shadowy situations, those even emerald green vests don't show up well on a cloudy day.
Well, no, because
corner.
Half the people don't put their lights on anyway, so the vests are not going to shine.
They don't.
You don't
they
have
don't
a light
reflect. Right. Even the daytime running lights won't shine them.
Understood completely.
Of which are
but
on many cars.
We're not. Regardless. We're not even talking about going to the level of at least they got a vest. And this isn't. This is just regular human. Hey, I'm in the country. I'm going to take a walk. It's a nice day.
Well, right around
okay,
here.
Okay, so here,
we are,
let's. I'll jump to the safety tips.
Yeah. And, okay.
Safety tips. If you're walking. You're walking on the left side of the road. You look at traffic. If you're biking, put the most powerful light on you can have, in blinking in the back, because you are going to go in and out of shadows, and you need to be seen. If you're driving, give pedestrians and bikers a lot of room. End of story. It's that simple.
Well, to the walking on the left side, Jay is absolutely correct. The one thing one has to do if you're on a country road, two-lane, is when you've got people walking on both sides because they're going opposite directions. So they're both walking left of the direction of the thing, and you've got to go between them. And oncoming traffic the other way. And this is, this is where
you got to slow
down.
One
person's going to have to give, and you have to be extra alert to see who it's going to be, you or the opponent at the other end of the line of walking.
Using the word
and
opponent,
I saw
is that
this
a good
this
start?
Last weekend where I was, because there's a place where people are out walking from 6 a.m. in the morning till 10, and there are legions of people out walking. And then their bicycles thrown in. And then there's the people that are up to go to the beach early and all that in their
cars. Gosh, we have to share the roads. Isn't that terrible?
We have to share the roads, exactly.
Share being the operative
word. Which means
word.
You really have to be alert.
Which means you give way, period.
Common sense, civility,
Yeah, that stuff. Anyhow.
That stuff. Mm-hmm. Hey, can we talk about non-boring cars for a little bit?
Yes, let's go
please.
For it.
So I just out of the blue, I helped a friend buy a 1990-ish Mazda Miata a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. $3,000. Mm-hmm. Great little car, summer car.
Absolutely.
The kid came out of a pickup truck and is now driving a Miata. He can go three times as far on a tank of gas.
Five times as far.
Five times as far.
And
yeah.
have fun doing it.
And have fun doing it.
Right.
So I was looking for Miatas and MX5/Miatas. More recently, new generation 4, so the newest Miata, you can find a 2016 with 20,000 miles for under 16,000, 15.5, I think. That's what the kind of newish, funnish, cheapish car you can find.
And a friend of mine recently sold her BMW Z4, which is 2000, I don't know what it is, 10, it was 8 or 9 years old, looked brand new, had, 50,000 miles, and I believe it was purchased for $13,000. And, you know, this is what I did with the Toyota pickup truck, which may not be a fun-to-drive truck, but it is. It was for this person who bought it.
I thought we were not going to talk trucks today.
We weren't, but we're talking about fun-to-drive vehicles being able to be purchased at good prices.
Okay. Can I just, before the $3,000 Miata, mm-hmm. why wouldn't you look for one of the original Miatas?
Because the new ones are just as good in a different way. I mean, okay. It goes back to the old car.
People who like
the benefits
Miatas,
of old cars
know,
at the start of the show.
The third generation is the one that arguably is the heaviest and
most safety laden vehicle out. The new generation. The old ones are lighter, and as Jay was inferring, and actually,
the new one, the fourth generation, is the lightest one since the first generation. So they've managed to bring the weight down and yet improve on safety features. Now, I saw one on the Whitestone Bridge yesterday. It's still a very small car, and you still don't want to go under a truck with it. But it's not really made to go on the interstates or...
What? Mazda Miata?
Yeah, I mean...
When you say made to...
It can go on. It can. It's not like the Fiat 500 or the Smart 4.2 on the interstates.
I drove back from Florida in a Miata, okay? An I-95. It's... not the most pleasant experience. But no, again, that's not what the car is made for.
Right.
But I also spent the whole winter driving a Miata in Florida. That was years ago.
A lot of fun.
Right.
A lot of fun.
Right. And then those are the trade-offs that...
Speaking of generations, we're getting towards the closing of this show. I want to let everybody who's a Corvette fan know the seventh generation Corvettes were stopped. The production stopped earlier in the spring. The last one off the line apparently was a black, fully laden vehicle, manual shift. I think it was a 7-speed manual shifter in it, and it sold for $2.5 million with the proceeds going to a charitable organization in New York to benefit veterans needing to be pay off house loans and that kind of thing. A wonderful event, but the 8th generation Corvette is in production now and will be coming to dealers. I think the unveiling is, I assume it's a mid-engine.
It's later this month. It's a
mid-engine model. So the end of the front-engine Corvette has come. I thought Jay has got a prediction, however, and it is...
Let's explain mid-engine. Jill was giving me an inquisitive look.
But then
look.
I want you to...
I will. Mid-engine means the engine is...
Behind the driver,
but in front of the rear axle, as opposed to a rear engine like the Porsche 911, where the engine is hanging way out of the car, like a VW Bug.
Am I correct, Jay, that we have yet to really see a sneak peek of the true car anywhere in the
There's been a picture of the rear end. It looks like a Camaro.
Full car shown yet by anybody that's gotten seen one.
So here's my prediction.
Okay.
Here's his prediction.
In very short time after the C8 goes into production, there will be a C7 Classic, so that you don't have to wipe your tears. You will be able to buy a classic front-engine Corvette, and there will be two models of the Corvette in the foreseeable future.
Porsche is just doing it with the 911 Speedster, the 2019 Speedster. It's not quite a classic of the old Speedster, but it's similar to what you're suggesting.
Yeah.
It might happen to the Corvette. And it happened, I believe, to the last Cadillac convertible or something at one point. And there are always these last editions. And then years later, somebody decides to rebirth it in a new form.
So lastly.
How long will that be, Jay? Do you think till the classic will be out?
Next year,
okay.
Lee Iacocca died this week or last week.
Oh, yes, he did.
We remember.
Automotive
cigar
icon.
Cigar in mouth,
yeah. Creator of the Mustang, savior of Chrysler.
With the minivan,
and was a great marketer and salesman.
He was indeed.
And will be remembered.
He will indeed.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.